A firefighter from Utah has become the sixth to die helping fight the fires in California. He was working the Mendocino Complex, the largest fire in California history. He joins a Redding, California firefighter, a bulldozer operator, and a utility worker who died in the Carr Fire, and two more firefighters who died on the front lines of the Ferguson Fire in Yosemite. Officials say it will take until September 1st to contain the Mendocino Complex fire, and many more firefighters will risk their lives between now and then. And joining them, a network of prison-funded fire companies, as many as 4,000 inmates a week, who residents call Angels in Orange. Prisoners have been helping fight fires since World War II, when there was a shortage of men. Now, in California, inmates serving time for nonviolent crimes make up nearly 40% of firefighters, saving the state $100 million a year. Critics say it's slave labor, and even supporters are concerned about safety. Last year, 22-year-old firefighter inmate Frank Anaya died when he fell on a chainsaw, and 26-year-old Michael Beck was killed when a tree fell on him. Often inmates receive no death benefits. They make just $2 an hour, but many say that's better than the pennies they make working inside prison, and it gives their lives meaning. In an op-ed last week in the Washington Post, Danielle Allen, author of Cuz, said this was the case for her cousin, Michael Allen, that prison brought him one beautiful, life-transforming opportunity, the chance to serve on an inmate fire crew. David Fati is director of the ACLU's Prison Project. David, is it fair to say you're a critic of the inmate firefighter program?
Hey, I'm a qualified critic. Jobs for prisoners can be very positive. And in my experience, most prisoners want to work. They want to do something meaningful while they're incarcerated. But prisoners are also a uniquely vulnerable part of the workforce. And so when prisoners do volunteer to work, it's especially important that we make absolutely sure that they're making a free and uncoerced and truly voluntary choice. And that's especially important when the work they're doing is very dangerous, like fighting wildfires.
Well, and inmate firefighters have died.
Absolutely. At least two have died in California. Six prisoner firefighters died in a single fire in Arizona back in the 90s. So this is not a theoretical concern. This is very dangerous work.
Well, here's what Danielle Allen writes in her op-ed piece about her cousin, Michael Allen, who has since died but was serving time for an attempted carjacking and was assigned to a fire camp in 2003. And he wrote this in his journal. I felt real dizzy. I've always thought I would be acutely aware of everything on that first day, fighting fires. I felt myself panic. For an instance, I even wanted to run back inside. The free air had me coughing a lot. Going up the mountain, I saw the sky was noticeably different from in prison, even though it was the same sky since the beginning of time. I really started to take a lot in going down the mountain. Yellow, small flowers lined the trail. There were purple ones as well. So we see what's happening to him, you know, challenging himself, but also being out in nature.
And that is real. Prison is obviously, partly by design, a very stark and deprived and monotonous environment. And so I completely understand how the opportunity to be out in nature is attractive to many prisoners, and the opportunity to do something constructive and to do something that serves and helps other people.
Well, in fact, another inmate, Joshua Coover, told the East Bay Times in 2015 that seeing people's signs that say, "Thank you, firefighters," is one of the best feelings in the world. So it's an opportunity to have that feeling. But then you said last year for The Atlantic that the desire for this cheap and powerless and literally captive labor force will distort decision-making about the criminal justice system. And it seems as if that happened in 2014. Lawyers in California under then-California Attorney General Kamala Harris argued in court that the state would have a problem complying with a 2011 Supreme Court order that California reduce its low-level offender population. They had overcrowding, and they were told by the Supreme Court, you got to release people. And the lawyers actually got up and said, but wait a second, because we're in the middle of a fire season, and then that means we won't have the firefighters we need.
I think then Attorney General Harris immediately repudiated the statements that had been made by her, the lawyers in her department. But it was a glimpse of something that we need to be aware of. The fact that in a country with 2.3 million prisoners, the largest prison population in the world, that labor force could be seen as something that we want to maintain. And we never want to run our prisons, our public safety system, based on a desire for cheap labor.
Yeah. Well, talk about the cheapness of it. These inmates can make $2 and up an hour with the firefighting, but they also can get their sentences reduced. What would you like to see? I mean, do you think that that's maybe making inmates, quote, volunteer, I'm using air quotes, for something that's impossible not to go do because who wouldn't want to shave days off?
That is a risk. Prison is a uniquely coercive environment, and there's very little in prison that's truly voluntary, and that's why it's so important that we make sure that these choices are, insofar as possible, fully informed and truly voluntary.
How do you do that? How do you do that?
Well, we believe that prisoners – right now, prisoners are a very vulnerable workforce. They can't unionize. They can't go down the road to take a different job if they don't like the one they've got. They're not protected by minimum wage and other laws. If they're injured or killed on the job, in most states, they're not covered by workers' compensation. So this is a situation where the usual checks on employer exploitation and abuse – really don't apply. And we think the solution is that prisoner workers have to be protected by the same laws as all other workers so that you reduce that that differential, that cost differential, and that temptation to exploit prison labor because it's cheap, because it's docile, because it's less empowered than other workers.
So are you saying that prison firefighters should have the same benefits that unions and fire associations get for professional outside of prison firefighters? Are you saying they should make the same amount of money an hour, for instance?
I don't necessarily think the same amount of money per hour because, after all, prisoners do have their basic living expenses paid by the state, which is not true of other firefighters. But in terms of protection in the event that they're injured or killed, in terms of protection from occupational safety and other laws, yes, we think prisoner workers, whether they're firefighters or doing any other kind of work, should have those same basic protections that other workers enjoy.
California seems to want reform. This year's state budget includes $26.6 million for a program that would allow 80 ex-offenders to build on their prison training to become full-fledged professional firefighters after they get out. But there is some concern by people who represent firefighters on the outside that they might be replaced by inmate firefighters.
Well, this is a concern that labor unions and others have long expressed, the fear that free labor could be undercut by prison labor because prison labor is so much less expensive and so much more docile and manageable. I don't think those concerns are well-founded if you're talking about former prisoners who, once they're out of prison, they're free citizens just like everybody else, and allowing them to use the skills that they've gained in prison is certainly a positive thing and a net social benefit. But the fear that the 2.3 million prisoners in this country can undercut the position and the bargaining power of free labor, I think that is a real concern.
Well, again, back to Danielle Allen, her book, Cuz, about her cousin Michael Allen, who was an inmate, one of those who fought fires. She says, again, the work gave him the chance to be the man he'd always known he could be, smart, courageous, and dedicated. He loved the firefighting. He was proud of it. And she compared it to penal systems in Germany and the Netherlands that use this principle of association that recognizes that wrongdoers succeed better when they re-enter society. She also says, but for the exploitive pay, it's an excellent example of a response to wrongdoing that seeks to make the victim whole.
I think that's right. And another principle is normalization, is that insofar as possible, prison life should resemble and prepare prisoners to rejoin the outside world. And so jobs, as I say, can be very positive for prisoners, but with the caveat that they are voluntary and that prisoners are not being exploited and put in danger because of their uniquely powerless position.
Well, and she would probably be in favor of what California is considering, this idea of taking those skills from prison to, release, because when her cousin was released in 2006, they wanted him to be with them in Riverside County where he could participate in a fire crew. But the parole rules at that time required that he return to the county of his crime, and he wasn't able to build on what he'd learned in prison. It seems like a waste not to let inmates build on that skill.
It's a tremendous waste. One of the best things about jobs for prisoners is, in addition to the reinforcement and growth that it can provide while they're in prison, it can give them skills to use when they're released and to maximize their chance of succeeding and being productive members of society. And so it seems worse than counterproductive to say, okay, you earned these skills in prison, but we're not going to let you use them now that you're out.
Yeah. That's David Fatih, director of the ACLU's National Prison Project, and someone who says these inmate firefighting programs can do better. David, thank you.
Thank you.
And your thoughts, have you or a loved one, male or female, benefited from being an inmate firefighter, or have they been taken advantage of? We'd love to hear. Hereandnow.org.